that this folks pay me to do it, but I'll do it for free. Don't tell them that, though. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Glory thank you to God.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so I have to tell you, I'm so glad that believers are gladly receiving the gospel to the poor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's my new confession. I've grabbed about it too long enough. Yeah. You know, you teach this stuff, but then you don't. Sometimes you catch yourself not practicing it. Huh? You have what you said. So that's my confession from now on. The believers are glad the poor. So let's review what we talked about last week. That's good teaching to review, because you may have forgotten already. That's human nature. Gospel of the poor does not encourage greed. It actually attacks greed. Amen. Because it teaches the tithe. Greed is wanting something that belongs to somebody else, or keeping something that belongs to somebody else, which would include the tithe, of course. Okay? So, God wants you to be rich. How do we know that? Proverbs 10:22 tells us, the blessing of the Lord will make it rich. That's no song. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us to remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. For though he was poor, for your sakes he became, well, he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. But that's Ephesians 3. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have it, all sufficiency, in all things may abound. You can't do all that if you're not rich. He wants us rich, no doubt about it. Amen. And so we want to help the poor. The gospel to the poor is to help the poor. Amen. We preach salvation to the sinner. We preach healing to the sick. We preach deliverance to the captive. We ought to preach the gospel to the poor, to the poor. Now, everybody has to hear the gospel to, you know, for salvation. Okay? But then the gospel is also customized. Amen. And that's what we're called to do. And we mean, with every fiber in our being, we mean to obey that calling. Come hell or high water, like they say. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. We told you that if God wants you rich, your employer might not want you rich, because if you get rich, you quit your job. They don't want you doing that. Amen. Too bad some Christians are not going to receive, because they too would quit God if they did. Amen. Because it's Sunday morning, but instead of going to church, they want to go play on the boat, play on the lake in the boat that God gave him. That won't work. That will not work. The prosperity of fools will destroy them. It is time for the wealth transfer. How? Tithes and offerings. You give to whom God wants you to, when and how much. Amen. You shouldn't give a dollar when God says give 10. On the other hand, you shouldn't give 10 when he says give a dollar. Maybe that's the part folks haven't heard well. No, you do exactly what God says to do. No more, no less. No more, no less. Do exactly what he says. Because he knows more than you do, more than I do. Amen?
Amen.
And I've been there where I wanted to give, you know, more. And he said, no, give this. Okay. And then later he said, give more than I wanted to give. I mean, you know. But he knows. He's like the conductor of the orchestra. You know? He knows what he's doing. He's got it all working together. All we have to do is do what he says. Just to what he says. Amen. He wants to daily load us with benefits. My goodness. If you are loaded daily, every day, you would have to get where you're overflowing. Would you not? Amen. You take any cup, any container, you keep loading it up, it is eventually going to overflow. That's his plan. That's his plan. Because he is a too much God. Glory to God. Too much joy. Too much peace. Too much love. Too much money. Amen. Same thing. All right. So how do we receive God's riches? We become tithers and we give offering as he tells us to, exactly to whom, when, and so forth. Okay? Not when somebody says so on. If you ever somebody says, who'll give a 10? Who'll give a dollar? Don't you do a thing until God tells you what to do.
Amen.
Amen. Not saying that's wrong to do. I'm just saying when it comes to you, you do what God said. Not the bishop, not the pastor, not the whoever. Amen.
Amen.
And then you should be faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Book of Luke chapter 16 verse 11. What does that mean? Be faithful in the natural ways of receiving finances. Huh? Work hard. Don't cheat. Don't get into fraud. Amen. So this is not the gospel to the lazy. Hallelujah. All right, and then you receive your portion of the wealth of the wicked that is being transferred as we speak. It is being transferred as we speak. How do you receive that? What does it mean to receive? To receive is to take, to seize, to lay hold on something in order to make it your own. It is to grab, to capture, to take possession of something. It is to violently lay a hold of something and to claim it. Make it your own. That's what it means to receive. In other words, receiving is not a passive thing. It's an active, everyday activity. Where you get up in the midst of financial, not enough on you, and you say, my God is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, that's violent, the realm of the spirit. Because you're defying the circumstances. Circumstances want you to say something that agrees with it, with them. Huh? When you say something contrary, you're being violent. You're defying them. Looking them right in the face and saying, aha, I don't care. Like David and Goliath, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how experienced a fighter you are. I happen to be the man with the covenant.
Amen.
So you are meat. This day, David said, I'm going to kill you. Glory to God. And he did. You got to be that way about your finances. Don't be intimidated by the needs around you. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what it takes. Receiving is done with words. Words. Words exercise authority. Psalm 35, verse 27, 28. Let them shout for joy and say continually, may the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I've been walking around these days. Every now and then I'm getting prompted to say, money! What am I doing? I'm calling for money. That's part of what it takes. Every time you get a sense of need, just call for money. Tell me, B shows up. That's what I do. Father, I download such and such amount of money from my Bank of Heaven account to my Bank of America account to handle this. Amen. That's what I do. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. My wife will tell you that. Amen. There's some kind of AC bill, air conditioning bill, or that you have to fix the air conditioning. We just did that. Man, there it is. Don't get intimidated. There's plenty where you get your stuff. Hallelujah. More than enough. just don't get intimidated. Just don't think, well, all you got to go by is what's in your bank account. Unless you think about your heavenly bank account.
Amen.
There's plenty there for all of us.
Hallelujah.
Plenty.
Yes.
Plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving is done with words. We told you about James chapter 5. Money that's in the wrong places. God wants to move money from the folks who will do bad with it to the folks who will do good with it. That OJ song was anointed. Did you know that? It was anointed. Amen. That's exactly what he wants to do. That's what we mean by the money transfer. And so the money is crying. James chapter 5. Amen. The money is crying for what? To move from the wrong pockets and purses and wallets to the right ones. Amen. The angels, who told you that, who are supposed to move the money, are ready to do so. What has happened? The poor that have been robbed. James chapter 5 is about, you know, about the filthy rich. I finally found a definition of filthy rich that is biblical. You know, when folks talk about filthy rich, they talk about the amount of money people have. Biblically speaking, filthy rich are the folks who James 5 talks about, who got their money by fraud. So literally, they are filthy rich by fraud. Not the amount of money you have, but how did you get it? Did you receive it honestly from hard work and the blessing of the Lord, or by cheating and being fraudulent and so forth? That's the filthy rich, folks who got it by fraud and so on. I like that definition. And so all of the folks, all of the money that God wants to take money from the filthy rich. Folks will do bad with it to give us, those of us who do good with it. So the money is ready to be moved. The angels, the UPS of heaven is ready to move. Okay? What has to happen? The people to whom the money belongs have to cry. The money is crying. The angels are ready. People have to cry. The poor have to cry. And look to God instead of crying to their supervisor for a raise. They won't amount to much anyway.
Yeah.
And it's all said and done. You know how that is.
Yeah.
By the time IRS gets its share, you know, you're like, that's it? Okay. I could buy a loaf of bread with this. Nothing wrong with getting raises and wanting raises. What we're saying is you have to look to God. Instead of the poor looking to the government, looking to the employer and all of that, they have to start looking to God. Because that's who can really get it done. And then those of us who are tithers and sowers of seed also have to start crying like we haven't cried before. Because the plan is for God wants to give the money directly to the poor or get it to the poor through us. Amen.
Amen.
Two of the most important reasons for being rich in God's eyes is to fund the gospel and to help the poor. Now, in the process, of course, you will be well greased.
Amen.
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 Oh, yeah. The time to start demanding. Not of God, because he's not our problem. He's never our problem. Demanding the devil take his filthy hands off our stuff. And mean it. Devil knows if you don't mean it. He knows if you don't mean it. Amen. Okay. So that's glory to God. Amen. So and then we talked about the book of Exodus chapter 2 verse 23. There was a cry from the people of God, Amen? Because of the burden on them. And God answered that cry.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so this is where we start today. I'm so glad believers are gladly receiving the gospel to the poor. Not fighting anymore. The gospel to the poor, that is, God wants you rich. Now, that, see, that makes sense. What is the gospel to the sinner? God wants you saved. To the sick, God wants you well. To the oppressed, God wants you free. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? To the captive, you know, to be out of your captivity. Well, what about the poor? God wants you rich. See, when you see it in those terms, it makes perfect logical sense. Besides spiritual sense. So we've been getting the poor saved, we've been getting them healed, but like I said, I'm so glad that believers are gladly receiving the gospel to the poor. The gospel to the poor is not a gospel of materialism. That's another criticism that the devil stirs up. This is, you know, you're stirring people to greed. No. Greed is not wanting more. Greed is keeping what belongs to somebody else, or wanting what belongs to somebody else. Gospel to the poor is also not materialism. If it is, Jesus preached materialism, and you know he didn't. Remember Luke 4:18? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He said it. He said it. So it is not the gospel of materialism, because materialism is not wanting or desiring more materials. Materialism is looking for the abundant life or satisfaction in life in materials, instead of in God. That's materialism. When you look to materials, including money and stuff, for fulfillment, to make you happy, or just better said, for the abundant life. When you look to stuff, instead of looking to God. That's materialism. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll give you all this other stuff. It will be added. But seek him first. If you seek them first, you are into materialism. The gospel to the poor is not about them seeking the stuff first. Seeking God and letting God load you up daily. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Materialism is looking for the abundant life or satisfaction in money, in possessions, in fame, in popularity, etc. That's materialism. When we look to money, look to possessions, look to fame, look to popularity, to be satisfied in life. Materialism is looking to money to provide that which only God can. That's materialism. A friend of mine is going to heaven now. Wasn't in money, you know. And so one day he got depressed, and he went and bought him a Porsche. He was happy for a week or two, and then back to depression again. See, that's materialism. That is materialism. What does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. It says to put off the garments of heaviness with the Spirit of the Lord. That's looking to God when you're feeling depressed. Instead of going shopping, eating, watching TV. You know, if I kept looking that, I'll catch all of us, would I not? Amen. Looking to God. So wanting more money is not materialism. Jesse said, money will make you comfortable while you are miserable. That's what a lot of celebrities,
That's where a lot of celebrities are. Huh? A whole bunch of celebrities have a bunch of money and are miserable. That's materialism. Because they thought, if I could just buy that house on the hill, I'd be happy. Then they bought it and they're like, you know what? It's not big enough. Maybe I would need a bigger one. And so then they get them a bigger one. And that didn't do it either. And then they go to a party and a friend says, why don't you try this? I tried it and made me happy. You get the picture? Yeah. All of that is materialism. But oh, you can turn to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And find a peace and a joy.
Amen.
That nothing else can supply. Amen. Amen. And then, of course, find plenty of money too. Comes in the package, you know. Thank God it's not either or. It's all of the above. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. Jesus didn't say that. Huh? He didn't say that. That's something somebody made up. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. No, no, no. Jesus says, take me to the world. Hmm? Why are you going to give up the world and take Jesus? What are you going to do with it? I mean, what are you going to do with Jesus? And your world is gone. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. No. Take Jesus to the world. And guess what? It takes money to do that. That's a part of it. Now, I know the sentiment, right? I know the sentiment in the song. But we've sang it and sang it and sang it so much that we go for too much of the sentiment and forget the substance of it. He died for the world. How are you going to say, who's going to take the world? Guess who's going to take it? The devil is the one who's going to take it. Is that what you really want? Of course not. But you're singing it. That's why we change songs, words of songs so much. We want to be singing stuff that's scriptural, not because it's musically pleasant. And there are plenty of songs that are musically pleasant to the ear and are also scriptural. Yeah, we'll go for that. Find the song we just sang. The first one. It says everything is going to be all right. When? When is it going to be all right? No, everything is all right. That's the truth scripture when you sing that song. Why is it already all right? Because Jesus already died and shed his blood. That's why. Not gonna be. That's not faith. Faith is now. Now faith is. Glory to God. Not tomorrow. If you're saying I'm going to be healed, forget it. You're healed now. Prosperous now. Mm-hmm. Blessed now. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So materialism is making something or someone your picker-upper rather than God. Amen. God's our picker-upper. Hallelujah. For down, we reach out to him to pick us up. He gave us all of these other things to enjoy, not to rely on. Bible says that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, Luke 6:33, go to that. Luke 6:33, you know what it says, but let's read it. Wait a minute. That's not what I want. Am I looking at Matthew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, righteousness.
Matthew.
It's Matthew, yeah. Matthew 6. Glory to God. I am a Mark. Don't you know what Matthew is, Mark? Oh. Thank you, Lord. I know you guys are already there, right? I give the scripture, then I'm the last to get there. Well, I take that back. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. God is not opposed to the things added. So the gospel to the poor is to, let me read exactly what it was. I'll give it to me. The gospel to the poor is about how all these things are added. That's the will of God. Jesus spoke that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, those things are not, the things are not added automatically. There is a how. You have to know some stuff and do some stuff to receive, because you've got an enemy. So the gospel to the poor is to get into the how to receive those things that are destined to be added to you. Amen. All right. So of course, money can be abused. Can be. You can pay somebody to go kill somebody. That's abuse of money. You can use money to dominate people, to demean people. You can let money make you proud. Look what all I got, and I live there, and I drive this, and I wear this, and all that. But that's not the fault of money. It's the fault of the fool. Not money. Amen. And so like we've said many, many times, money is not the root of evil. The love of it is. The love of it is. And it's really foolish to be in love with money, because it won't love you back. Amen. The feds could change policy and money would get up and leave. Your 401k. So it's foolish to be in love with money. Because it can't love you back. It's a great servant, but a really terrible God. But it's not a fault of money when people use money to do bad things with it. Okay? Now, let me look at the book of Proverbs chapter 30. Money itself is the root of many, 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 many good things. Like I've said before. Amen. Money will help you eat well, help you help others, help you fund the gospel, give you vacations, okay? But we can't fall in love with it, because it's a terrible God. Book of Proverbs chapter 30, let us know about a Bible character who thought that money is a root of evil. He was wrong, of course. Bible character wrong? Yes. That shouldn't be surprising to you, right? The only person who was never wrong in the Bible is Jesus. Amen? Oh yeah, just because they are in the Bible doesn't mean everything about them was right. He was wrong, flat wrong. But he thought money is a root of evil. Proverbs 30 verse 1. The words of Agur, not sure if that's how you pronounce it, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy. Now, prophecy here doesn't mean, usually prophecy means inspired words of God. Okay, I looked at several translations about this because it got me thinking and praying about it. Prophecy here means solemn words, means the sayings. This is what he said. Okay, it tells us the man's name. It says, the man spake unto Ethiel, even unto Ethiel and Uka. Here's what he said. That doesn't mean that's what God said. Yeah, but it's in the Bible. Yeah, I know. Everything in the Bible is truly stated. But everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. Right here, it is true. This man said what he said. But what he said is not true. He was correctly quoted, but what he said was wrong. You got to know that when you read the Bible. Same thing with the acts of Bible characters. You clearly understand this. David did what he did. I don't mean everything David did was godly. Abraham did some of stuff that was not godly. So just because he's there doesn't mean he's so. Surely I am more goodish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. Yeah, I happen to believe that in this case you lack some understanding. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the Holy, who has ascended up into heaven or descended, who have gathered the wind in his fist, who have bound the waters in the garment. So all of that show, talking about God. Who have established all the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is the son's name, if you can tell it? Every word of God is pure, true enough. Every word of Agur or Shina is not pure. It ought to be. Huh? Amen. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word. Yeah, better now. Okay? Now, read all that to get to verse 7. Two things have I gathered, have I required of thee. Talking to God. Deny me not then before I die. And then he says, God, remove from me vanity and lies. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Okay, Mr. Agur. Feed me with food convenient for me. God will give me just enough. That's what he said. That's not what God said. God said, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, said that. That's what God said. Okay? So when you read this, you're reading what this guru said. Now here's his reason why he doesn't want to be rich or poor. He wants to be mediocre. I heard Casey preach years ago. The mediocre is the worst kind of worker. He says, if you give me a lot, lest I be fooled and I'll deny you. So now that's his problem, is he not? There's fear here. He said, now, if I don't have enough, Lord, I might steal. You see his problem? He's afraid. He's afraid of having plenty because, oh, I might deny God. He's afraid of being poor because, oh, I might be tempted to steal. And then he said, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the God in vain. I might start cussing you out, God. If I'm poor, think about that. Do you have an excuse to cuss God out because you're poor? He was wrong. Didn't know, but he was wrong. Bless his heart. So let's take a little. Let's see here now. Pray with me. Glory to God. Okay. Let's go this a little bit, and then we'll have to talk about the name. Alright, so again, every statement in the Bible is truly stated, but every statement in the Bible is not a statement of truth. The clearest example, Job said. Okay? Job chapter 1 verse 21. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We know that's not true. Right? We know the Lord gave him. We know the devil took it. He didn't know. So he thought the Lord was doing it. And he said what he thought. But just because Job said it and it's in the Bible does not mean that's what God said. God saw it fit to have it recorded for our benefit. For us to learn from it. Not to copy Job in that. Now there's plenty about the life of Job that we can copy. Not that. Amen. God's the giver. The devil cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus told us that, did he not? And that's exactly what happened to Job. He was stolen from. His kids were killed. He almost got killed. And we know who the killer is. We know who the thief is. Jesus told us that. Okay? And so when you read that, you can't automatically assume, okay, well, it's in the Bible, so no. That's what the Bible tells us to study. Not just read, study to show yourself approved of God. A workman that need not be ashamed. Okay? Job chapter 1, verse 21, you will find there, Job says, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. And if you read the entire book of Job, well, not even the entire, at the beginning, you know that God didn't do it. The devil did the stealing. Okay? So again, every statement in the Bible is truly stated, but every statement in the Bible is not a statement of truth. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Okay, that's a good place to start. So we'll stop there, pick up on that today, tomorrow, to next week. And we'll talk more about Mr. Agur and how he was wrong in thinking that actually what he was afraid. Amen? He was afraid. That's it. His heart was right. You know you can be right in your heart and wrong in your head? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, what we have to do is get the two together. He was right in his heart. He was apprehensive. He was afraid. If I'm loaded, who? Am I quit going to church? Am I start enjoying all my stuff, traveling? I don't want to do that, so don't make me rich. Well, what about all the other reasons why God wants you rich? And then he thought, you know, if I'm poor, I might not be able to yield. I might not be able to resist the temptation to steal. And to go rob a bank. And to curse you up, God. So I don't want to be poor either. Can you just fix it where I'm just middle class? He was wrong. But we'll get into that next week. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's talk about the name of Jesus. Yeah, it is a blessing, no doubt. Thank you, Father. Name above every name. Now, for those of you watching, this is not necessarily our offering teaching. It's a teaching about biblical economics. I heard a family member say the other day, how long I was teaching on this. But no, this is not. We're not teaching just to gene up an offering, all that. But this is biblical economics. And so that's why we take time to go into the details as long as we do. Because we're actually called to do this, and we have to be obedient to God's calling. Glory to God. All right. The name of Jesus. Where are you? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you. We agree with the Evans family and the Morris's family that they are delivered from shame and the spirit of condemnation. We thank you for their restoration. Oh, glory. We thank you for their restoration. Thank you for their restoration. We trust that they've repented before you. We thank you for their restoration. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Don't forget, every time that comes up, do the godly thing. Pray. Stand in faith with them. Don't join in with the devil. Wants to say, yeah, you see that all the preachers said this is down there. Because like I told you a couple of weeks ago, next sentence to that is, all Christians are hypocrites.
Now you know that's not true.
It comes from the same fountain. Same source.
All preachers are crooks and all Christians are hypocrites.
Same source. Don't believe either one of those two. Amen. Are there crooked preachers? Oh yeah. Are there hypocritical Christians? Oh yeah. But not all. I know I'm not. You know? Yeah, you're not. So, but that's what the devil wants to do, and to discourage people, stop them from coming to Jesus. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Okay. The name above all names, the name of Jesus. Last week we talked about the fact that in trying to avoid criticism, we're not as bold as we ought to be when it comes to the name of Jesus. In ministering, for example, to the sick. Your correct biblical attitude should be, I am a Christian. I'm a little Christ. I am representative of Jesus. He said, I believe it, the things that he did, I can do too. Didn't he say that? He did. Yeah. And what did he do? He healed the sick. So can I. Let's start from the book of Mark. Mark 16. We have to be bold. The righteous are bold as a lion, the Bible says. The wicked flee. But no man pursue it. Well, there's not even nobody pursuing them. And so we got to get that boldness back. Quit acting sheepishly and as if we don't half believe what Jesus said. Did he lie about it? Of course not. Mark 16, verse 17. And these, plural, signs shall follow them that believe. That's us. In my name. That's what we're talking about. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's what he said we can do. In the name. And so, rather than be bold, you find believers, preachers especially, saying, I am not the healer. Well, of course we know that. But you are a healer. See, that's being bold. You are a healer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you the Savior? No. But you can lead somebody to Jesus. A person that preaches is a preacher. Right? A person that heals is a healer. They are not the healer or the preacher, but they are a preacher and a healer. See, that's boldness in the name of Jesus. And I told you last week that most of the time, Jesus did not initiate a healing transaction. Most of the time, people came to him. And I gave you a few examples. The woman with the issue of blood came to him. He didn't seek her out. Jairus came to him. In fact, Jairus came to him and told him to come lay hands on his daughter. And it was while Jesus was going to Jairus' house that the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus. You find most of the time people came to Jesus. The difference that makes is they already had faith in their heart. Sometimes we're trying to pray for people to get healed who either don't really care or are not in faith. This is not a magic show, you know. No, it's a transaction here. So I told you last week, I am fully confident Because of revelation in the name of Jesus. That if you come to me in faith to have me lay hands on you to get healed, you will get healed. Mm-hmm. Just as sure as you would have had Jesus laid hands on you. Mm-hmm. Because I'll do it in his name. He said I could. I believe that. With every fiber of my being. I don't care what the disease is. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. You know, they talk about AI these days and AI this, AI that. And, you know, they're concerned about if these machines are going to take over human beings and start doing stuff we don't want them to do. Like, kind of like, what is that movie? The Terminator or something? The machines go crazy or the... Some movie. We have a name.
Amen.
Ooh, glory. Amen. We have a name.
Amen.
That will cause that machine to stop cold in its tracks. Mm-hmm. Remember now, this is a name given amongst men. Mm-hmm. At the mention of with everything, heaven, earth, and hell, have to bow, including AI. I'm not concerned about AI. Of course I am, in the sense that it can mess up societies, but, you know, as far as it hurting you, taking you over, You dig into the name of Jesus, have revelation about the power in the name, you tell that thing, stop in the name of Jesus, right where you are. And it has to. It has to. It has to. If it doesn't, then the name of Jesus is not that powerful after all. But it is. Oh, it is. Glory to God, it is. It is. And so we have to be bold by revelation. You're not the Savior, but you can save a soul by sharing the gospel of Jesus and praying with them. You can help them in the name of the Savior. You're not the healer, but you are a healer in the name of the healer. Hallelujah. All right. So we talked about the name of Jesus in ministers to the sick. Even when demons are involved, we looked at a couple of scriptures where when the demon was cast out, the person got healed. And so, like I said, it may not sound all that sophisticated to modern ears, but the fact is some of the things that we deal with that are so-called incurable are that way because the demon is involved. When the demon was cast out, the person could hear, the person could talk. Now, you should know. Now, so the question might be, how is it that demons have anything to do with disease? Well, here's how. When Adam sinned, Adam and Eve, they opened the door to fear. You remember now, immediately they sinned, they were afraid. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And they were aware of their nakedness, afraid and want to cover themselves. So sin opened the door to fear. And in with fear came the curse, including the curse of disease and all kinds of other things. Okay? And those things, of course, are enforced by demonic forces. So to fear is to enable the devil. Don't you believe it when they say, you know, some fear is good. No. There is nothing good about fear. Not a thing. Don't mean to cuss, but not a cotton picking thing. Good about fear. Not a thing. Well, yeah, poverty, you know, something good. No, there's nothing good about poverty either. Mr. Agul thought there was, but he's wrong. Poverty kills, steals, destroys. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So to fear is to enable the devil, is to empower the devil, is to attract him. Fear is like a magnet. That's why the Bible tells us over and over and over and over and over and over to do what? To fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, because fear is deadly. Fear is deadly. Now, as a believer, you cannot have the devil, demons in your spirit. Huh? Jesus moved in and he took all the space. There's no more space for rent. In your spirit, that is. Mm-hmm. He took it all. Demons are going to, of course, oppress your body and your mind. If you let them. If. You're not helpless. You have a choice. You know, the people that get oppressed and hear voices. Huh? Mental cases where people are hearing voices. Somebody should talk to them. Somebody should teach them to talk back to the devil. Huh? I said, no, I won't do that. In fact, get out of my mind. Guess what? The devil will. He will. He has to. The pecking order, the devil is way down below us. Did you know that? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and then there's us. The angels are below us. The good ones. The bad ones, like the demons, are below that. Any human being, born again or not, can tell the devil, no! Difference is when you get born again, you are empowered to resist more. If you couldn't do that, you'd have never gotten born again. Huh? Because it's the second before you got born again, you were a sinner. But when you heard the gospel and decided to get born again, there was nothing the devil could do about it. Nothing. He couldn't stop it. Because you decided, this is what I want. Likewise, if you're hearing voices in your mind, just tell it to shut up. Don't want to hear that no more. It has to. It absolutely has to. Because you have authority. Let's see, so folks who hear voices that oppress them, nope, don't, I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to do that. Get out of my mind. Now, in the name of Jesus. And the devil has to. What does the Bible say? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he will stay on as long as he wants. Oh, no. Oh no, he has to flee. Has to flee. He has no choice but to flee. The word flee means, literally in the Greek, to run from as in terror. Mm-hmm. If you knew it, you are the bad boy, bad girl where the devil is concerned. He wants to convince you that he is the bad. No. He is more scared of you than you could ever be of him. But as long as you don't know that, he has his way. But once you find out, he knows his place. Mm. He knows his place. Hallelujah. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, you can put him right where he belongs. Mm. Under your feet. So he can't ever be in your spirit because Jesus has taken up all the room there. No vacancy. Glory to God. And in your body, your mind, you can resist him too. You can resist him too. The Bible says the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Not whom to devour, whom he may. He has to get your permission. People grant him permission without knowing it, but he still has to get your permission. How? But what you say. What you say. Here's how the people grant permission to sickness. They start talking about the flu season. What do some Christians say? Oh, well, I better go get my shot because, you know, I mean, if I don't, then I might get it for 2-3 weeks. You know how it is, I get the flu and it lasts forever. So you just gave it permission. You just gave it permission. Didn't know it. Doesn't matter if you know it or not. People perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. If you drink poison, know it or not, it's going to kill you. You don't have to know it. Amen? So you can tell him no when it comes to your mind and your body. All right. So understanding the name of Jesus in the light of the power of words. We've talked about that many times. Going to keep talking about it. The power of words. Jesus said, we know that Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. See, doubt in his heart. So that's, I told you earlier, that you can have faith in your heart and your mind be messed up. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, shall not doubt in his heart. So there could be doubt in your mind as long as you don't let it get in your heart. Mm-hmm. How do you let it get in your heart? When you speak it. Mm-hmm. Are you getting it?
Amen.
Words are everything. That's how you got born again. Think about it. You went from being a sinner to a saint by saying, Jesus, come into my heart. You use words. That's how your boss gets you to do what they want. Words. That's how the president exercises authority. Words. And that's how you exercise authority in the realm of the spirit. Words. That's how God created the universe. Words. So we're never going to get away from words. And so the name of Jesus is a word. Jesus is a word. It just happens to be a special kind of word. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Yeah. If there was ever a word, that's it. My. That word can lock all kinds of doors to the devil and open all kinds of spirit doors to you. So to understand the name of Jesus is to understand the power of words. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Do you believe that? You ought to. Because if you do, you start watching what you say. You could say, my friend, that your knees are killing you. Huh? Because when you say that, you are enabling the devil to mess up your knees. Yeah, but that's not what I meant. It's what you said that counted. You didn't mean to drink that poison, but you drank it. So you're going to die anyway. That's how it's law. Death and life in the power of tongues. In the power of the tongue. In other words, live words bring life, and death words bring death. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. We read the scriptures before. The Bible says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And here's the recommendation. Choose life. Huh? Choose life. How do you choose life? By speaking words of life. How do you choose death? By speaking words of death. Nobody purposely wants to die. But if you do what brings death, that's what you're going to get. If you sowed tomato seeds and you meant to sow broccoli seeds, guess what's going to come out? Tomatoes! It doesn't matter, you didn't want tomatoes. How do you choose life, you speak words of life. I said all that to get to this point. The word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, is the most life word you can speak. It's the most life word you can ever speak. If we'll get the revelation of that, it is full of life. No wonder he said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. not just abundantly, more abundantly. So the name of Jesus, which is why I said at the outset of this series that the main point of all of this is for all of us to be aware of how precious that name is and not speak it flippantly. Speak it only purposely, with intent. It is the most loved word you could speak. My. I've got 2 more minutes, I think. I think that's a good place to stop. That's a good place to stop. The name of Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, is the most life word you can speak. Because it's the name given amongst men by which we can be saved. Amen. It is a name at the mention of which, if you mention that name with faith in your heart, heaven, earth, and hell, angels, humans, and demons have to bow. Have to bow. Have to bow. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you for giving us such a wonderful, powerful name. Thank you for your help to appreciate what you have invested in the name of Jesus that you have freely given to us. Hallelujah. Much like a parent, but much, 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 much more than a human parent. You have done the hard work. It was no small work, no easy work for God to become man. But you did it. To limit himself to human limitation. But you did it, Jesus. To be mocked, made fun of, and to die the death of a criminal. You did it. All of that in order to obtain a name that's invested with deliverance power. More than sufficient to meet the human condition. But you did it. You did it. And it's done. It's a done deal. Done deal. Thank you for the name of Jesus. You can speak it in the face of trouble and expect things to change.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for more revelation about this subject matter, the name of Jesus. We will be instructed and be taught and take it to heart. So it is. So it is. So it is. My friend, do you know Jesus? If not, you can. You can. He can. You can. He died. So he can have a relationship with you. He wants it. He's been waiting on you all this time. Amen. What do you have to do? Invite him into your heart. How do you do that? It will go again. Words. What words? Well, I'm about to lead you. If you say these words and you're sincere in your heart, now you're just not just mouthing something, just to mouth it. If you're sincere, he will take you on your offer. So say this. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Thank you for doing it, Jesus. And Father, I add my faith, this man's faith, this person's faith. I thank you, Father, for leading them to a church, such as this one, who will teach them how to live a Christian life victoriously. I thank you for giving them
their prayer language. I thank you for healing them on top of their head and top of their feet. Thank you for your instructions that will fix their finances, fix their family situation, and set their feet in their abundant life. Thank you for doing that, Father. We're confident of it because we ask all of it in the name of Jesus. We believe we receive. We believe we receive.